And please take your seats. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I want to read a story from Scripture. And if we can get it up, Luke 10. And we're going to read from verse 38 to 42. And I want you to imagine, although this probably wasn't based at Christmas time, I want you to imagine that maybe it was, because it's a typical Christmas situation. And it says, now as they were traveling along, he, that was Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. How many of you, you're having people to your homes this Christmas? You're having people, you're preparing, you know, you've got everything that you're trying to get ready. Next verse. And it says, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her. Anyone ever felt like saying that to God? Come on, God, will you not tell him to change? Will you not tell her to do this? Yeah, I know. Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. You know, I'm going to come back to this story in just a moment. But first of all, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but there are certain things that we greatly anticipate. You know, we make many, many preparations, and we think about and plan and visualize how they're going to turn out. And very often, Christmas is just like that. We set it up on this pedestal, and we, you know, we picture this perfect day, and we get all excited. I mean, children, you know, we've had a little one with us for so many years, and then suddenly we didn't have a little one waking up with us on Christmas morning last year, and it was like, oh, where's she gone? You know, because there's something about little children at Christmas, that anticipation, that excitement, you know, and it's just, it's amazing how something can just build up with excitement. And, you know, the honest truth is that sometimes, you know those fireworks that go up in the sky, but then nothing happens? You know, I don't know why anyone pays for them. You know, you'll be in that amazing fireworks display, and everything will be going, chom and pew, blah, and everyone's going, ah, ooh, and then there's those ones that go, pum, and everyone goes, yeah. And sometimes things like Christmas feel a little like that, because we've had these high expectations and they're nothing. But you see, what we're doing is we're looking forward to something. Now, I want to, just for a moment, before I get into the main parts of this word, address what might be a small group of people, but it's so important. Because you see, when we're excited about something, we look at it. We imagine it. We visualize ourselves on holiday, when this has happened, when that's happened, you know, and we get excited. But very often, when there's something unpleasant on the horizon, and for some of you here right now, whether you're sitting here, whether you're listening online, whether you're listening later, wherever you are, for some of you, actually, the honest truth is that the thought of Christmas Day this year is difficult, because something has changed, or something's not what you would want it to be. You know, some of you might be approaching Christmas for the first time after someone's died. Some of you, you might know that you're going to be around people who it's really fractious and full of friction being with those family members. And it's difficult and it's hard. But you know, it's so weird what we do as human beings, Because although we imagine all the good things, when it comes to things that are going to be really difficult, we kind of go into a level of denial. Is this all right, being real? And we kind of look away and think, no, and we don't anticipate it because it's too hard to even imagine that that's going to be the case. But you know what? There's a phrase that I coined. You know, we talk about flashbacks. But you know, sometimes it's quite useful to have a flash forward. In other words, to think, do you know what? I'm going to have Christmas this year for the first time without that person. And so I'm going to go into my prayer closet before I even reach Christmas. And I'm going to see that this person isn't going to be at the table. And I'm going to go into prayer and say, Father, this is going to be difficult. Will you heal my heart ahead of time? Will you prepare me for Christmas being different? I was talking to my mom, who's going to have her first Christmas without my dad after 55 years of marriage. And I was having this conversation, and I want to encourage every single one of you who you know you're either going to see, you're going to be in stressful situations or sad situations or difficult ones, or you know, there's some of you, maybe young people, and you know every Christmas there's a big row between my mum and dad. You know what? Why not go to God in prayer right now and ask God to help you right now. Anticipate what you are going to experience. And then bring that to the Lord in prayer. You know, there are so many people I know who've done this over the years, and then they've reached Christmas, and do you know what? It was better than I thought it was going to be, because I allowed God to do that in me ahead of time. So I want to encourage you, especially if you're going to see people and you know that the typical thing is that sparks fly, that it's difficult, go to God before. Father, Lord God, give me the peace. Enable me to be a peace bringer this year. Enable me to walk in love. You know, I remember after I met my husband, and I remember learning about walking in love. But you know, walking in love doesn't just help others. Did you know it protects you? Because the Bible says put on love. And it's like putting on this bulletproof jacket. And some of you, if you say, do you know what, I'm going to put on love. And so I'm going to walk into this situation around people who they may be throwing stuff at me. But all I'm going to determine to do is just be kind and loving. I'm just going to do what I can to be the one who is kind in the midst of that situation. Amen? Amen. It's going to help you. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. But you see, here we have this picture painted. And we have this woman, Martha. And, you know, she has been getting everything ready for a big event. And she's been working hard. And you know, we don't know what Martha and Mary's relationship was like Monday to Friday. We have no clue. But, you know, some sibling relationships are quite tense, quite difficult. And here she is thinking, oh, no, can't believe it. I'm the one doing all the work. And, you know, Mary's just, there she is. Oh, you know, Jesus, I love you, Lord. Have you ever noticed when you're really focused and you really want to get something done and the person you need help from is just praying and worshiping and loving the Lord? Yeah, thinking, will they please? Anyway, maybe not you. You're far too spiritual. But here is Martha, and she's now really wound up. And the scripture says, you know, she's distracted by many things, working hard, and, you know, feels like everything's just piling in on top of her. And I don't know what season you are in right now. But maybe you're in that place where you feel like there's so much coming at you from every direction at work. Maybe in school or in college, every time you sort of turn a new corner, there's something new throwing itself at you. Maybe at home with family, there are just so many complexities and issues. And suddenly you find yourself weighed down by it all. And it's really interesting. because Martha goes to Jesus and she says, come on, Jesus, this isn't fair. I'm having to do it all. How many of you ever felt you do it all? Yeah, yeah, that's not me. Do you know my husband cooks Christmas? Yeah, the turkey, the trimmings, everything. He starts like Christmas Eve working. He just loves it. I'm very blessed. Sorry, he's already taken. You can't have him. But you know, all these people are like, feel, you know, I'm having to do it all. There's too much on my plate. It's not fair. And so she goes to Jesus. Come on, Jesus. This isn't fair. But it's really interesting. She goes to Jesus saying, look, my sister is the problem. How many times in our lives we think she's the problem? He's the problem. This thing's the problem. It's just, this is too much. But I want us to look at how Jesus replied. He says, Martha, Martha, can't you just hear the soothing words of Jesus? I love the fact that when I'm all in an uptight bundle of frustration, I love it when I hear the Lord in the midst of that just say, calm down, and speak into that. And it's like when Jesus speaks your name, it's different when anyone else does. When he speaks into the middle of the mayhem, suddenly things feel different. And there he does. He says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. In other words, she comes to Jesus saying there's one thing that's a problem. You know, I've got to let you into a horrible, I've got to confess. Hayat, where is Hayat? Oh, no, she'll be rehearsing. Are you here, Hayat? No, she's rehearsing. So Hayat made a confession. Oh, she said, no, I'm not here. That is hilarious. Sorry. It shows how, hi, Heidi, love you. So she made a confession at the 9 o'clock, which I'm not going to repeat. You can ask her about it. And my lovely black leather trousers have been cremated, but it is all well and all forgiven. So you'll have to ask Hayat if you want to know what happened. Anyway, I have a confession, which is far worse than ripping your pastor's leather trousers. I didn't say that. Sorry. Love you. So you know, this is what happens sometimes with a build-up. Sometimes we don't realize, you know what, I'm all frustrated and I'm all hot and bothered and I'm all worked up about something, and we don't realize until the one thing that's just one thing too much. And so the other day, we'd been planning Christmas, and you know, one thing about, how many mothers do we have here? You know, wave at me if you're a mother. You know, the thing about mothers, one of our problems really, is that we feel responsible for making everyone else happy. It really is right. How many mothers, you agree with me, you feel responsible for everyone else's happiness? Yes, stand up, mothers, if that's you, and just take a bow. Yes. You know, I mean, we really do. We feel responsible for making everyone else happy. You know, but really, that's a false responsibility, because nobody is capable of making someone else happy. Find me a scripture that says, mothers, thou shalt make everyone else happy, and I'm with you. But it's just not true. But anyway, we feel it sometimes. And so, you know, I've been kind of planning Christmas in my own mind and just how I'm going to make sure everyone else is happy. You know, I've got to make sure, you know, everyone's smiling, everyone's happy. That's my responsibility. Not, but you know, there goes the lie. And so then my husband was on the phone to his sister and talking about Christmas Day. And then he starts suggesting that a little bit of Christmas Day, that he was going to stay and do some food prep. And he was packing me and the children off. Well, you know, my idea of happy on Christmas Day does not include the family going in different directions. So he's on the phone talking to his sister. And suddenly, you know, precious Pastor Joe turns into Godzilla in a moment. I mean, we can be transformed in a moment into, you know, in the presence of God. But I was not transformed in that direction. Are you hearing me? You got to understand, he's still on the phone. So all I had was my facial expressions. And I just looked across the room. I mean, you would have thought I was manifesting. And he's on the phone to his sister all this while. You know, and this expression is... And then he hangs up and I says... And then stared at him. And he said, all right, we won't. I mean, this was not an example of what Auntie Gloria meant when she said, do what your husband said. All I can hear is, oh no, I now have to tell that story because I am, you know. And he's sitting there, all right. And I'm like, you know, and I'm still angry. You know, this is the thing. In the moment, I was still angry. I went to bed and I'm thinking, oh no, that scripture says, don't let the sun go down your anger. And I'm now cross with the word. How dare the word challenge me? You know, and so I'm lying in bed thinking, oh. And so, and I love you. But in the inside, I'm like, oh. I said, Lord, I forgive him for his terrible sins. I mean, his outrageous omissions and sin. I mean, you know, so often when we're angry, we really think it's me who needs to forgive. I woke up in the morning. Oh my goodness. You know, I was like, I mean, it took me 2 days to forgive myself. I mean, I was like, I'm so sorry. And he's just like, he has this ability to do this expression, you know. And then, so Godzilla is now kind of just at bay. I thought Godzilla was dead. But Godzilla's just still lurking a little. Because then, a couple of days later, you see, my daughter has developed this really funny habit. So I don't think she's here. So anyway, she doesn't like it when I tell stories about her. But hey, she's got this habit. I need to borrow Ronke. And I'll say I need a hug. You know, apparently I told my son when he was about 10, I said hugs from 0 to 12 are for you. Okay, is that reasonable, parents? And then I said from 12 upwards, hugs are for me. So he told me this, and so he accepts his responsibility for hugging me, okay? Just turn to your neighbor and say, that's reasonable. Yeah, you know, I just get the second, you know, the zillions of the rest of his life. So, but my daughter hasn't had this revelation yet. She has what I call this shoulder hug. So I'll say, can I have a hug? And she presents me with, no, she presents me with a shoulder. So I'll say, can I have a hug? And I'm like... And I'm supposed to just hug her, and she can stand there and just carry on doing, you know, making her coffee, or there you are, mummy, you know, have a shoulder. Will that not do you? You know, and so this time I went, no, I do not want your shoulder. And she looked at me. You didn't know this. This is like the day later. And she said, that was a bit aggressive. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And so I gave her a nice hug. Not that she wanted it. That was still for me, you know. But you see, so many times, there's all this strife and stress swilling about on the inside unnecessarily. And I remember after that, I got into God's presence. And I said, Lord, I mean, you know, I didn't smash plates or punch holes in walls or, you know, no one's arm got broken or anything else. Thank God. But I just went to God and said, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you reset me? Do you know you can choose to reset the day anytime you want? You can choose. You know the expression, waking up the wrong way, or the wrong getting out, the wrong side of the bed. You know what? I want to encourage you from this day forth to remember you can choose to reset your day any time, any place, anywhere. But here is Martha, and she is wound up. She's a good woman, but she's wound up. And she's saying, it's all my sister's fault. And he says, Martha. Martha, Martha, you're worried. You know, very often the one thing that we think is what's bothering us isn't the real thing. She wasn't worried about her sister. No, but she had worries. You know, some translations say, you're anxious. And then it goes on to say, and you're troubled. Trouble means disquiet. When there's discord on the inside. When there's strife on the inside. And he was saying, do you know what, Martha? There are many things that you're carrying right now in this season of your life. But he says, there should only be one thing. You know, you and I have been made with a capacity to carry a certain amount of weight. Is Junior here or anyone else? Or Yemi? Where's Yemi? Or Junior? Or yeah, there we are. Is that someone at the... Who's that at the back? Oh, Chris. Chris is always heaving weights. And Melvin, heaving weights in the gym. You know, they can lift lots in the natural. But do you know, we are all designed to only carry a certain amount of weight. And let me tell you the weight that you have been designed to carry. It's the burden of Jesus. He says, my burden is light. You have been called to carry only one thing, and it's the burden of Jesus, and it's light. And the way we know if we're carrying only that which Jesus has asked us to carry is our load feels light. Right, yes. You know, when the load feels heavy, when you're feeling overwhelmed, weighed down, snowed under, then that tells me that we're carrying things that Jesus never asked us to carry. Are you hearing me? Some of you here, maybe you've been in a season where things have just been, it feels like having a bath with your socks on. Do you know what I mean? You feel like everything's just been going the wrong way. Well, you see, God has a word for you today. Because Jesus said, my burden's light. And my yoke is easy. And the yoke represents the lifestyle that God has called us to. It's his will for our life is the yoke. And if your life isn't feeling easy, it's because God wants to do a work. And you know what? His work always starts on the inside and then manifests on the outside. He always deals with the issues of the heart first. And so here we have Mary. And you know, this is the other thing. Jesus, she said to Jesus, do you not care about me? Do you not care about what is going on in my life? And so often we can end up thinking, nobody cares. But Jesus turned it around and said, it's not that nobody cares. It's that you're carrying cares. You know, normally when we get in that place of thinking it's all too much, it's because we have somehow allowed all the distractions of life to keep us from the one thing that makes the difference. You know, it says in Matthew 11, this is one we always, Mark 11 verse 28, and if we can have it up on the Amplified, Mark 11:28, because Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, all you, in the Amplified, thank you. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you. Isn't that amazing? I will actually do a work that will enable you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your soul. What an amazing God we serve. And it all starts with one word. Come. Coming. You know, what does the psalmist say? Lift up your eyes unto the hills from the one where you get help. You know, so many times I'm thinking, everyone else needs to help. Well, really what we need to do is address the Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord. Amen? And so you see, Some of you here, you're carrying burdens. You're feeling weighed down. You're feeling the stress of every different thing. But actually what God wants to do is he wants to bring you into that place of refreshing. If we can go to 1 Peter 5 verse 7 and staying in the Amplified. I love this in the Amplified. You see, because it says, casting the whole of your care. And I want you to hear what that's saying. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and there's a lot of alls in there. Because, you know, when we don't get rid of all the junk, all of that stuff, then it just starts multiplying again on the inside. Are you hearing me? So he says, cast it all. Why? Because he actually cares. And let me tell you the honest truth. He has got what it takes to carry every burden that weighs you down. He's got supernatural shoulders. He can handle it. And I'll never forget the time when God showed me, you know, all the while you hold it, you're the one who has to fix it. But when you hand it over to me and give me every stress, every anxiety, every fear, every worry, I am able to sort it out. The whole of your care. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Isn't that amazing? He's watching over every aspect of your life. He's watching over how things are going to go. You know, one of the things, just for a moment, speaking to parents again, you know, it's an amazing tension, if you like, that we have to learn as parents between taking responsibility for the lives of our children, but then being able to pass it over to God and say, do you know what, Lord? I'm not the one who's a miracle worker. I'm not the one who's able to solve every problem that my children might face. Only you are. You know, one thing, yeah. Parents in this place, you know, God's been showing me so many people wander around with this sense of guilt about having failed, or this sense of sadness about things not being the way that you so longed for them to be. But while we're carrying those are just extra weights. Another way, oh dear, I didn't get it right. Oh dear, I didn't map out life for them the way I'd always wanted to. Oh dear, and so we're still weighed down. And it's weights. And where our heart is full of weights, it can't be full of faith. And you see, what your sons and daughters need more than anything else from you is faith. And it's when we've given up every care, every worry, every anxiety, every concern, and handed it over into the hands of God that we can then say, now, Lord, you do what only you can do. Casting the whole of your care. Casting the anxiety, the worry. And you know, that's not going into some place of, oh, well, I'm writing them off. You know, that the heart is intriguing, to say the very least. The different things we'll do rather than just say the truth. You know, oh, well, no, it's not like that. Oh, well, I don't care anyway. Oh, well, I'll leave you to your own devices now. Oh, well, blah, blah, blah. No. We've just got to be real in the presence of God, then leave everything with him. You know, one of the things my husband has always said, and you know what, let this become a revelation, is God is bigger than the things that are bigger than you. Amen. He's bigger than the things that are bigger than you. So you see, what we have to do is we need to come. And I want to encourage you, you know, before Christmas, don't come to Christmas with all these weights. Come to Christmas with a heart that is stress-free. But you see, we need to come. We need to dump. And then we need to decide. And I want us to look at John 14, verse 1. And this is such a revelation. John 14, verse 1. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. You know, isn't that a wonderful half verse there? Right there. Do not let. The thing I love about that is that tells me that I have a choice. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have a choice. You know, we can choose ahead of time. I'm not going to get frustrated. I'm not going to get agitated. I'm not going to get wound up or worked up. I'm not going to turn into Godzilla. No, do not let, do not allow, do not permit is what that means. Do not permit your hearts to be troubled, distressed, or agitated. You see, when we've cleared out, the reason Martha couldn't choose her attitude in that situation was she was weighed down by many things. Things coming at her from all sorts of different directions. She thought her one issue was her sister. But Jesus said, no, Martha, there are many things. And you need to deal with them. You see, when we deal with all those cares and stresses weighing us down, when we offload them in the presence of God, then our hearts are free. We can allow him to fill up our hearts with his joy again. I love that scripture that says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, joy is a choice, isn't it? Joy isn't a feeling like happiness is. Happiness is a product of things. But joy is a choice. Scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. It's like practice joy. Rejoice. You know, we can choose to rejoice. We can choose joy. You know, and this scripture is saying, do you know what? Let's settle things in our hearts. I remember, you know, one of the most powerful things that God has taught me very, very gradually. You know, anyone ever felt very, very human and very slow to learn? You know, but you know, God is able. If you're sitting there right now, because you know, sometimes I look at myself and think, gosh, I thought I was further on than that. Anyone ever, like, just, you've done, oh, gosh, is that really where I'm at? You know, but there is nothing, nothing he cannot do. No one he cannot turn around. Are you hearing? There's nothing he can't change. No one's life he can't turn around. You know what? Don't beat yourself up because God is able. He's able to do it for you. He's able to do it for those he loves around you and those that you love. He is able. He is able. But you see, we can then make this choice. Do you know what? I am not going to allow the things that once got me down to get me down. Like I said at the beginning, I learned very early on after getting married from my husband this whole concept of walking in love. And there was a particular person who I often had to see around the Christmas season. And I would just literally, I was really frightened of seeing this person. Not only did I feel that I was just subject to, I just felt like a dartboard. Anyone ever felt like a dartboard? I used to think, oh my goodness, what's going to happen this time? Like, what darts are going to be thrown at me? What volcanoes are going to erupt? What is just going to break out? And, you know, how many of you know exactly what I'm talking about? And I used to just say, oh my goodness, I've got to go into that. I've got to go into that. And you see, when that's how we enter a situation like that, we're just asking for it because we're kind of expecting the worst. We're all agitated. We're all worked up. And I remember as I started to learn to walk in love, and I remember going back into those same relationships and saying, do you know what? My job in this relationship is just to walk in love. All I need to do is put on my jacket of love. The Bible says put on love. In other words, do you know what? Even if when you're not feeling it, put it on. You know, everyone knows love is an action. Love is an act of the will. You know, that's the kind of love we all enjoy, is the acts of the will. Not just that swishy feeling. But I remember making this decision, I'm going to put on love. And I'm going to keep putting on love. And you know what? Maybe I didn't get it all right this time, but it was better than last time. And next time it's going to be even better. But you see, when you make that decision around, you know, those fractious family members or those difficult situations. You know what? I'm going to put on love. I'm going to put on love. You're going to find that soon enough, you're going to come out the other side and go, wow, I had just a little bit more love this time. And I'm now seeing a side to myself that only Jesus could have produced. You see, he's able. I want to ask you just to stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to invite you to shut your eyes in the presence of God. And I love the way Jesus speaks our names. And right now, I want you to hear in your heart the Lord Jesus himself speaking your name, just like he did Martha's, full of love. You know, the Bible says he knows you completely. He understands your reactions. He understands your thoughts before you even think them. And right now, I want you to, in your heart, hear the Lord Jesus speaking your name. And he says to you, come to me, all you who are weary and overwhelmed and heavy laden, all of you who are just carrying too many weights, come. You know, that first step of coming is the greatest step of all. And I'm going to lead us in prayer in a moment just to get rid of some of this stress and overwhelm. But first of all, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and, you know, maybe you were once serving God with all of your heart, but you know that you've pulled away, you've grown cold on the inside, or maybe just so many distractions have crowded you in, and you know that you no longer have that relationship with him. Or maybe you've never done this before. I want to give you an opportunity at the start of this special Christmas season just to invite Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. So just with your eyes shut, if that's you, you're saying either I was once going for it and you're not there anymore, or you've never done this before. If you're saying I want to invite Jesus into my life, I want to get to know him. Just while everyone is praying, would you just lift up your hand high so that I can pray for you? If that's you, thank you. Thank you. Just lift up your hand high in the presence of God. And let me lead you in prayer right now. Let's all pray together. But just with your eyes shut, just say, Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me. And you have a great plan for my life. I ask you to forgive me for going my own way. Forgive me, Lord. Come into my heart, Jesus. Be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, just remaining in prayer. If you're here and you've just been carrying a whole load of worry and weight and cares, and just again with your eyes shut, everyone, just lift up both hands if you're saying that message was for me. I've been weighed down, I've been anxious, I've been worried, I've been stressed, I've been overly concerned about things. And with your hands raised up, I just want you to picture yourself giving every concern and every weight over to the Lord Jesus. You know, the best way to do that, we haven't got time now, but it's to name it all one by one. You can do that when you get home. Just go into God's presence and give him every single weight that has been weighing you down. And then now, Father, we make a decision. I want you to picture your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart. And so picture your heart and draw that line around it. And make that decision now that you're going to ask for the help of God to walk in love like never before, that your heart won't be troubled. Father God, I pray for your help every day of our lives to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, that whether there's a storm on the outside or not, there would be peace on the inside. And Lord, we will give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name.